Web Guy, in the past we've talked about celebrity sightings in Adelaide. I believe you've had one, but it's slightly different and it's someone we've discussed in previous podcasts.
It is a friend of the show. I think we can call him a friend. We do like to share our celeb sightings. Previously, I've told you about when I bumped into David Marr. You weren't that impressed. But Jeffrey Rush, you did sort of respond a bit better to. I can't remember who your sighting was.
No, I don't think I had any good ones.
Nah,
I don't think so.
It was something mediocre. Anyway, this happened this week, crossing an intersection in the city of Adelaide, and who should I see walking the other way, passing like exactly across me? I would have got within, you know, I could have stretched out a hand and touched this celeb.
He's an internet sensation, and it's not Justin Bieber.
It's not Bieber, but an internet powerhouse. It was Adelaide's angry pedestrian. You might remember we spoke about him the other week when the video of him walking into a light pole went viral and was watched by, at last count, it was 6 million people, probably more than that now.
He really is a celebrity.
Well, I mean, if you're in a video that's been seen 6+ million times, that's huge numbers.
And it's been shown on TV as well, so there's extra viewing, more engaged viewing, probably.
And I've got to tell you, the interaction, it happened just exactly as I hoped it would have if I had dreamed about this day happening. He was wearing his red hat,
yes,
which he was in the video.
Have you gone back and checked?
Well, I remember the video.
Oh, you remember it
vividly. I watched it a couple of times. He was wearing the same red hat. He was walking the same dog. He still had his same sort of goatee beard. And he was still looking fairly angry, although I didn't catch him abusing anyone that I noticed. I don't know what happened after we crossed paths. But it was also the moment I realised why I really probably never quite be a proper journalist, because it was only after I walked past him I thought, should have interviewed him. Should have asked him if he's even aware of the celebrity he's become.
Or were you scared?
Well, we know he has a temper, so it is a bit intimidating.
Yeah, well, yeah, he is a frightening man. And he isn't afraid to express his violence and possibly get violent.
One fact I can report on, there was speculation that maybe the red hat he was wearing was a Make America Great Again hat,
yep,
hinting that he might have been a Trump supporter.
Yes.
I can confirm that it is not a Trump hat.
Right. Have you tweeted this? Previously?
No.
You should have.
No, this is breaking.
This is big.
This is a scoop. This is for Newsman Web Guy listeners only, an exclusive.
And that will break, I'm sure, once everyone listens to it.
I expect the viral tidal wave will start rolling in a minute.
How do you think Angry Pedestrian, his life has changed since this internet has come out?
It could
actually change a lot, and in a positive way, if he embraced it. He could be on TV shows, being interviewed. I mean, it would be 5 minutes of fame, but he could almost find some little niche getting paid to be in an ad campaign or
something.
Well,
look, anyone who has 6 million views online has leverage. Just no question, bottom line, whatever it was for, whoever you are, if you've had millions and millions of views, you've got some leverage there to cash in on. From what I could tell, it's had zero impact on him. He still seemed as the same old angry Adelaide pedestrian that we all know and love. He's still out and about walking his dog. I don't think things have changed very much for him at all. A brilliant thing this week, Newsman, with the One Love concert in Manchester, where after the shocking attack that happened there,
yep,
Ariana Grande returned to the city, brought a heap of friends, the who's who of the music business.
It was a superstar lineup, and to see those crowds both enjoying the concert and also a few people grieving as well, all a mix of emotions, was pretty amazing.
Yeah, and pop stars, we like to have a laugh at pop stars, and they get ribbed. But, you know, good on them, because you couldn't help but have in the back of your mind, well, you know what, geez, like it was only 2 weeks before Suicide Bomber, you know, just disastrous scenes over there, and they've basically doubled down and said, well, you know what, nah, we're gonna keep doing this. So a great thing. That said, there is a strange little tangent hanging off this story that I've seen just day after day this week. It's an unfolding saga.
It seems hard to believe anything negative can come from this concept, but...
I know. Who would have thought? But this is a great human thing, because I think rather than face the terrifying aspects of our existence and confront the difficult problems of, you know, life and what is going on with all this terrorism stuff, such a human thing, and I include myself in this, to just basically shut that out and get distracted by a sordid minor detail, which is easier to relate to, perhaps, is the thing. And what is more sordid than a family spat?
Are we talking about victims? Are we talking about concert goers?
This is performers.
Oh.
So, in case you didn't catch it, Manchester is the home of Oasis, powerhouse band of the 90s, and really one of the big rock bands of
Gallagher Brothers
generation, the Gallagher Brothers, Liam and Noel, and famously hate each other.
Yeah.
So that's the backstory. We've already got these brothers that publicly just slag off each other regularly. One of them played at the concert. Liam played at the Manchester.
Well done, Liam. Concert.
Well done, Liam. Did a good thing. He then afterwards jumped on Twitter and just ripped into his brother Noel for not playing.
Oh, boo, Noel. Why?
Oh, I'm going to censor myself. He called him a sad F.
Right.
Like, really ripped into him, like, you know, didn't play, you know, said you're out of the country, not good enough. Like, really tipped a bucket on his own brother for not playing at the Manchester show.
All right. From my initial hearing of this story, bad form, Noel.
Yeah, bad Noel. Everyone's hating Noel at this stage. And this was the first part of this online story. Everyone was reporting Noel didn't play, Liam did. And to make it worse, as the Manchester show was happening, there were photos of Noel living it up on a cruise ship or somewhere in Italy. He had his shirt off, hanging out with his supermodel partner, drinking wine. He had a glass of rosé.
I feel like there's a butt coming up in this story, Tim.
Well, at this stage, it just looked bad for him.
Yeah.
He snubbed the concert and he's just, you know, living the high life of a rock star. Didn't look great. And his own brother has, you know, called him out for it.
The brothers are pretty well known for being pretty self-indulgent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're rock stars.
Yeah. But they are the typical rock star,
They're the cliche rock
cliche,
stars.
Cliche, that's the word.
Anyway, the story did take a twist. And the next day, we start to hear, well, hang on. The word coming out of Noel's camp is, well, I was actually never even asked to perform at the show. So, you know, a bit rich to criticise him for not turning up when he was never even asked to be there. So, you know, the scales start to tip a little in favour back Noel's way. He's, you know, not looking so bad.
Mm.
And meanwhile, every twist and turn of this story is being reported just wall-to-wall coverage through the UK media.
Mainstream media.
Oh, well, you know, Daily Mail, The Sun. Yeah, mainstream. Tabloid. This is tabloid gold, this stuff. So the brothers are, you know, back to about, you know, on equal pegging. And then the next twist, we find out that in the wake of the Manchester attack, Oasis's classic song Don't Look Back in Anger was adopted as a bit of an anthem. You know, they're hometown boys. It's a classic song. You know, it was a good fit. Became the song that people used and sung. We then learn that Noel Gallagher, the one who wrote that classic song, and the real talent behind Oasis, in my opinion, truth be told. Anyway, he wrote the song, and ever since the attack, he'd been donating all of the royalties he's been receiving for the song, which would be massive, because this is one of the biggest songs written, you know, probably in our lifetime. It's huge. So, you know, the cash is rolling in for the royalties on this thing. He's giving it all, he's donating it all to the victims of the attack.
Wow, so the story just turns on its head?
Turned on its head, all of a sudden, Noel is clearly the good brother.
And how did the papers... So the papers are reporting on this blow by blow. So one day it's, you know, attacking one brother, and the next day it's attacking the other.
Yeah, blow by blow is exactly right. And the interesting thing is, this is 2017. The whole way along, Noel Gallagher has not actually said at this stage, as we speak now, Noel has not actually said anything. He has not officially said anything. You know, there's a bit of talk coming out of, you know, sources close to Noel. But this is interesting because this would only happen in 2017. Noel has not confirmed that he is donating all the royalties from Don't Look Back in Anger to Manchester victims. But he has retweeted an article revealing that that's what he's doing. So, you know, with reason, you can pretty much take that as him saying, as him confirming, yep, that's what I'm doing. He's retweeted the article. So that's the world we live in, where a retweet is almost a statement.
That's it. I guess from the newsman point of view, people need to check both sides, because initially you're telling the story to me, I'm thinking, no, you F. But it sounds like it's done plenty for this cause. So Twitter wars cause publicity.
Just a disclaimer, Noah was an important man for me in my formative years, and I have always been Team Noel. And I knew deep down there was more to the story. I knew that Noel was not the bad guy here. If you know the brothers, you know he's the one whose corner you want to be in.
I'm just picturing you, web guy, maybe 17 years old, 16. Yeah. Did you have a bit of an Oasis haircut to go with?
Oh, I tried. I mean, look, take how bad their haircuts were, and then boost the badness by another 50%, and that's what I was getting around with. It was shocking. Marcus, you're a newsman of significant years, been around the media. Ever had any close shaves? Ever felt like your well-being was under threat?
Fortunately, no. You get a lot of unwelcome comments and people saying things aggressively, but I've never actually been pushed or shoved in a media situation. Mainly insults about my position in life and whether I should be at a certain situation. But other than
heckling.
That... Yeah, heckling.
Heckling is what you're talking about.
Paparazzi. I used to work on a country paper and took some photos at a crash and was told I was the paparazzi of one.
Well, that's not true, because I'm sure you weren't getting good cash for your photos.
No, that's it. But yeah, it can be a scary situation when you're confronting people with raw emotions or in difficult situations.
Most of the danger I've come across while working in the media is in the office. The hazards around the office we work in. That's the most danger I've seen. But a man... no stranger on the media landscape in Australia, Andrew Bolt, has been basically flat-out attacked on the streets of Melbourne.
Now, describe Andrew Bolt for some of those people that might not know. Media commentator, very divisive. Would that be a fair
He's point? Been controversial. I guess you would say he's right-wing. So he's been pretty outspoken on refugee issues and Indigenous issues, a range of things that, I guess, to people who disagree with him, well, people like he's one of those love or hate guys. You know, you either really agree with him or really disagree with him. So he was just strolling down Lygon Street when a couple of guys bailed him up, and one of them threw, I think it turned out to be glue on him, and glitter as well. But when you think of some of the things that have happened in recent years where people have had acid thrown on them, any random incident where someone's throwing a liquid on you, that's going to be scary, I reckon.
Yeah, it is very disturbing to see that, especially seeing the vision that the guys weren't doing it in... I guess a protest is never fun, but it wasn't a sort of relaxed sort of situation. These guys were pretty intense, weren't
they?
Well,
yeah, you wouldn't have immediately recognised them as protesters. They kind of like had hoodies on, no, you know, placards, no chanting, anything. Just like ran up behind him and just started throwing stuff on him.
They looked pretty young as well.
Yeah, well, fairly sprightly lads. Yeah. But then here's the thing, Andrew Bolt just snapped and just went after them and was just this has been all caught. Well, one of the actual offenders, I think it was, don't know how we ended up with the footage, but the guy with the phone caught all this. Andrew Bolt doused with the glue, whatever, snaps, goes after these guys, kicking, punching. He gets flung into tables, there's chairs flying everywhere. He lands like a fairly good right hook in the face of one of the guys. And apparently kicked him in the nuts as well. He said afterwards, he said he felt bad about that, but also said, I fight, you know, I fight dirty when I'm under attack.
He responded quickly, didn't he? It was an ambush, yet he was ready.
Ambush for sure.
But maybe he's ready for ambushes.
He handled himself, you know, fairly well. Like, he just really ripped into them. Suit was wrecked. And you can see him at the end of the video. He's like, he looks like he's flipped into wild mode. His suit is wrecked, and his hair is all like all over the place. And he's like got the jukes up, like kind of ready for more. Like, are we going to go another round? But someone sort of intervened, and it's interesting in that moment how just some random from the public like intervenes, and all of a sudden the whole situation just sort of simmers down a bit. The guys run off, and everyone takes a look at themselves. But pretty scary stuff. And whoever's done this, like, whatever you think of Bolt and his opinions, like, way, way out of line. This is not what you do.
You know, good on Andrew Bolt, because too many people in that situation, thinking of the Qantas CEO, just when he got the pie in the face, yeah, he just sort of took it and was passive, whereas Andrew Bolt just, as you said, went into wild man mode and, yeah, and sprung into attack. And I don't think protesters in Australia expect to get any retribution. They just think, oh, I'll throw some glitter on him and run away laughing. But
I almost don't want to class these guys as protesters. Like, what they did is like really just more criminal.
And we don't know what they were protesting.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
just like not on whack jobs.
Glitter whack jobs.
Glitter whack jobs. They're the worst kind of whack jobs. Really interesting story this week, Marcus, about what we can all do to improve our chances of getting out of a fine when we get busted breaking a road rule.
I've actually only been stopped by police once for a traffic offence, so I'm probably interested in this, but I haven't had to deal with it too much.
How'd that pan out for you?
Yeah, not good. Did a little weird manoeuvre at a... I think I was turning left somewhere, and then I did a U-turn from the turn left, and police pulled me over and said,
"All wrong,
no good."
Yeah,
I took my guilty pill and said, "Yep, I did."
Copped your whack.
Yep, hoping I'd get a warning, but
yeah,
no.
So you didn't. You got the fine.
I got
and
the fine.
I've been pulled over numerous times, and I've always got the fine. This news story will be helpful to both of us because the number one thing you can do to get out of the fine and just get off with a warning is be a woman.
Wow, that's just saying, you're just saying it how it is.
No, this is backed up by stats. These numbers have come out, and this is in South Australia. We now know the percentage of people who get pulled up on different offences, how many of them get away with just a warning. And in every category of broken rule, women by far get let off with just a warning more often than men.
Now, I have an obvious view on this one, but I believe they have a more theoretical reason for this.
Well, your first thought would be, why do women get out of the fine?
Well, my initial thought is women... can we start again? No, I think that women are more charming than men. In general.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Because it's probably... And that sort of is the reason. Now, if you can't be a woman when you get pulled over, then this is the next best. And because this is what women apparently do when they get pulled over that men do not do. And the very first thing they do as soon as they are pulled over by a police officer is they apologise.
Okay,
so the response is, oh my God, sorry, I didn't realise I did that, I'm so sorry.
But if they're apologising before the policeman's told them what they've done.
Well, no, the policeman pulls them over and said, oh, so sorry, ma'am, do you realise you just went through a red light? Oh my God, I'm
didn't
so
realize.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah. So plead ignorance.
Well, maybe not even ignorance, but just apologise. That's the key here.
Okay.
Apologise. I'm sorry I did that. Which I can believe is something men would be very unlikely to do.
I would. Did you apologise in your...
Oh, I don't know that I apologised, actually, now that I think about it. I certainly have never been, you know, hot-headed about it. I always just, you know, you take your medicine. But to say, I don't think I have apologised. And I think that's a good tip because apparently that immediately gets you on the officer's good side. He's like, okay, all right. Oh, and I just refer to an officer as a he because usually, I mean, the majority of officers are men, and this plays into it a little bit as well because they say, well, every police officer is a husband or a father or a brother or something. They pull over a woman who apologizes, and you know they're immediately, you know, more inclined to let the driver off with a warning. Whereas they pull over a man, and men are much more.
Combative, or
yeah, they're combative. Driving is much more important to men. It's like, I'm a good driver, I drive fast, I have a good car. And if they get pulled over, it's like, hang on, you just interrupted my great driving. The last thing that bloke is going to do, last thing on his mind is apologising.
Okay. Any other reasons, or is it just apologies the way to go and humility?
Yeah, that's pretty much all of it. But it is significant. These relate just to SA, and the stats are for speeding, 36% of women pulled up for speeding got off with a warning, compared to 29% for men.
That's pretty close, though, really. It's one in three for both. But
yeah, but that's almost 10% more. But no, you're right. It's not enormous. Using a phone, 31% of women got off with a warning compared to 26% of men. So, you know, not a huge...
I can't believe anyone gets off of that.
But that's a separate issue, isn't it? Yeah. Why is anyone getting away with a warning? Now, here's one where there's a real discrepancy. Not wearing a seatbelt, which... I mean, who's not wearing a seatbelt?
I know. Unless you're older than my parents and they're 70, so...
Who is getting into a car and thinking, nah, seatbelts, we don't need those. Anyway, that's another episode. We'll explore that one. No seatbelt. Women get off with a warning for not wearing a seatbelt. 63%.
What?
63% compared to 40% of men.
I don't think the sample size would be that big, though.
Oh, no, probably
but
not.
But still, that's two-thirds of them are going, oh, I didn't know I didn't have my seatbelt on, something that I've been doing since I was 5 years old.
Unless these are just aliens who have landed on Earth and have got no clue what's going on.
Tim, is there any thought? I'm going to just say it. Do you think women are more liked by men?
Are you hinting
when it comes to just day-to-day communications?
Well, I don't know. Are you hinting at some kind of flirt factor?
Definitely, definitely.
Well,
I find in workplaces, certain workplaces I've been at, you can be a new person at work. And as a man, you can be pretty much overlooked for a icebreaker conversation. Yet when a woman starts at the work, everyone wants to say hello. And perhaps they've got better communication skills to keep the conversation going. But that's probably through over and over people coming and breaking the ice with them.
Well, yeah, I don't know. That sounds like could be a PhD thesis in that. But better social skills, yeah, that's probably exactly right, and it probably comes down to that. The analyst who was reported in the media this week about why women are more likely to get off with a warning, he said basically that the flirt factor, you know, the woman gets pulled over and the male cop is more likely to let her off, is really like pretty negligible. Like that's not going to be a factor. Like maybe a little bit on some occasions, but really negligible.
Possibly the other thing with male drivers generally are the hoons of our community. So they're probably more likely to be actually speeding deliberately versus a woman that perhaps is actually seeing it as an oversight.
I've never seen a female driver doing donuts in the Woolworths car park.
Seat lowered on Hindley Street, elbow just hanging out.
You don't see that. That doesn't happen.